episode 363. I'm your host, Hector.
I'm Jason.
This is Ian.
Right away, I wanted to get to... We haven't done an episode. Well, we did an episode, the three of us, and then deleted it, unfortunately. But it's awesome to have all three of us here right now. Ian, I wanted to ask you, have you done any traveling recently, even if it's just to visit, you know, like just out of the state for family or anything like that? Have you done any kind of...
Recently, no. I really haven't gone anywhere, just more local stuff, just like St. Louis or, yeah. I don't know, yeah.
Yeah. You know, you always try to remember to bring stuff because you're like, well, what if they don't have it at the hotel? What if I, you know, I don't want to have to. I think the last time I traveled, which was to travel to central Illinois where you guys are at, which is to, I just did a big move. And man, I pride myself on remembering to bring just about every, like have, you know, just everything. Like I actually was pretty proud of myself because I had an extra toothbrush that my brother needed, like, and when
just the one that you clean the toilets with.
Yeah, yeah, I had to.
Here you go, buddy.
Yeah, it's got a hair on it and stuff.
Yeah.
So the one thing I did forget was an extra pair of socks, which could be kind of bad because then you're just re-wearing socks for a couple days, but. Luckily that worked out too. Cause I was moving from my old apartment to my new apartment, and my old apartment did have, like, I found an extra pair of socks there, just one, like, luckily. So that kind of helped me out. But, we don't have to stick too long on this, but maybe we can like extend it to another episode. But, I was thinking about, you know, how, bands and stuff, we'll have, what was it called? It's the list of stuff that bands will request that their green room has. You know, the joke is.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what the official list is called.
Yeah.
I'll every year they post, like, this singer requests only green M&M's.
Yeah. Beyonce always wants whatever, you know. What do they call it? Let me see. Here it is. It's called a celebrity rider, a rider, like riding on a bike or a car, you know, a horse or whatever. But it's a celebrity rider is a list of requirements, requests, or conditions that a performer or celebrity expects in addition to their appearance fee. So this is on top of whatever you're getting paid or whatever. But yeah. I was like, yeah, you know, like there's the usual stuff. Like, you, of course, want Wi-Fi and just basic shit. But I thought, you know, what would, you know, those little coffee cans that I get of espresso, like that would be a nice little rider. But what do you think, Jason?
I think Ian would probably want like a local newspaper with a stock market section in it so that he can check
the local. The paper.
Jason told me that he would like for like them to give him an upper decker on every toilet he visits.
And be creative with it.
Yeah.
Just like.
Yeah, everyone he goes to, there just has to be a turd floating in the upper.
That's
awful. I want a bidet with like high water pressure. I want to like be lifted off the seat.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never experienced a bidet. Other countries. Have you guys been to other countries that have bidet? I've never.
Yeah.
Like that would be one of those things where I walked in and I was like, "What the fuck is this thing?" And now it's like, "Oh, this is what a bidet is." You've been to Asia, Ian.
Yeah, there's always some interesting ones. The most ridiculous ones is just like a bucket of water, and you have to a manual bidet.
Oh no,
did not.
It's not fancy in any way.
No,
bidets are
no,
supposed to be a fancy.
I mean, it never breaks.
Amenity, yeah.
But yeah.
It never breaks. Yeah. It's a tried true.
He's just like dunking himself in it like a breadstick in marinara. Just like,
oh, God.
It's like, that's not how you do it.
Oh, boy. Yeah. No. What was, yeah, the hotel we drove from Springfield back down to San Antonio, where I'm at now, and we stayed at a hotel. The hotel was pretty decent. It was like, I don't know, $120 or something like that for. Two bed. It was at La Quinta Inn in Dallas, I think it was. We made it all the way from Springfield to Dallas, and then there were still like five more hours from Dallas to San Antonio. And we stayed there, and it was one of these places that was still under construction or remodeling or whatever. But outside of that, it was a nice hotel. But yeah, I was like, I don't know. It's funny how and modern day, like, we're so spoiled that we like stuff that we used to be impressed with in a hotel, we just don't give a fuck about anymore, like a flat screen TV. Like, we don't even turn the TVs on, we just got our phones. It's a microwave, which can come in handy. I was thinking yesterday, I don't know why, but I was thinking about this, like the beds that you put a quarter in and they, you know, they shake and stuff. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, it's like a dollar now, inflation.
Is it? Yeah. Oh no. Fucking thanks a lot, Obama. I was thinking about that. And right now, if I went to a hotel that had that, I'd be like, ooh, like, what the fuck is this? Like, ghetto. But in the 50s, that would have been like, you know, like, impressive kind of, he's like, oh shit, we're, you know, this is, we're moving on up.
Right, right. So luxury.
The last time I was on one of those, they got him at the grocery store. And the little like pony that like and forth for like a penny.
Yeah. The hotel experience it's nice when you go to a hotel that has a nice breakfast option when you go downstairs and stuff like that.
Do you guys overeat it though? It's like whenever it's free, I'm like, oh, I gotta get my money.
Yeah,
for it.
Exactly. You're like, you never like you're doing it like you don't know if you're gonna eat again.
Yeah, right. You're like, well, this could be my last meal I've ever had. Yeah. I better eat like three dates.
Yeah,
it brings you this bad egg.
There was my brother and I were leaving this hotel, this La Quinta. I'd gone outside to grab something out of the U-Haul or whatever. And as I was going back in, getting on the elevator, there was somebody there that I could tell was a, what do they call those? Delivery drivers that are like with the apps like and
Grubhub?
Stuff.
Grubhub?
Yes, one of those. The competitor or whatever it was, right? And I could kind of tell, I deduced it. We were making small talk and I was like, oh, this guy's just dropping off food or whatever. And he asked me how much the hotel was, and I was like, it's like 120 bucks or whatever. And it's like, it's decent for what we got for two people. He was like, 120. He's like, oh my God. I was like, that's not, I think I went on the cheap end.
You can't even like find many hotels anymore. Like the gone of the days of like the less than 50 bucks.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like minimum now. It's like 89.
Yeah. So this guy was all impressed. And he's like, holy shit, that's been fucking crazy. I was like,
I've been sleeping in my car for the past 3 years.
Yeah. As we were leaving and we were going down to grab some breakfast on the way out to leave Dallas to go to San Antonio. And the guy was still there. He wasn't, like, again, he was a Grubhub guy, so he was just there to drop off food and leave. But he, as he was walking out, he's like, oh, fuck yeah. So he was fucking packing up a bunch of the breakfast food in the breakfast area, which is pretty decent breakfast, like, you know, like eggs and fucking hash browns. And
so he was eating it like it's the last.
Yes, yeah. So
what if he had a Grubhub from that restaurant? Yeah. He's like, and he's like, two scoops of eggs. I need to toast me. Make me one of those waffles.
Yeah, he was maximizing his the whole experience there. Yeah. So, it's just, you know, there's so many stories that come along with traveling and stuff that.
What does it seem like too? Whenever you go to one of those kind of like travel hotels like that, whenever you pull up, there's always some overweight middle-aged lady smoking a cigarette outside. She's always
with the voice, with the smoker's voice. Yeah. So
sounds like Marge Simpson's sisters.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, I forgot about them.
Yeah. You know, I'm surprised they haven't made a live action Simpsons movie, right? I mean, everything's got to be adapted and turned into something from. They did make that movie, that Simpsons movie, but they never did that. They stopped there. But a live action, it's inevitable. One day we'll get one of those. I did watch the Deadpool Wolverine trailer that just dropped yesterday. And I was thinking about that. I was like, man, Ryan Reynolds. Fucking perfect casting. That's one of the one examples that you think of for perfect casting. With The Simpsons, it would suck to get people, because then the voices won't match up, because you're not going to get the, you know, the guy that Castanella, I forget the actor's name, that plays Homer Simpson, doesn't look like Homer Simpson, but we're always going to connect his voice to that character.
Oh, yeah. So, and Bart's going to be a 50-year-old woman.
Yeah, right, which in real life, yeah, that's the actor's. What's her name, Mom?
I don't remember. I can't think of her name.
I forget. She you never see her. She's one of those kind of reclusive kind of actors that you never see. But anyway, so I was thinking about that. I was like, okay, Wolverine, Hugh Jackman's great. They're bringing him back to play Wolverine for this movie. And he's great, but then he's not necessarily... The one thing is that people, nerds, bring up, nerds. And they get a little too critical with it, is like that Hugh Jackman is like 6'3 or whatever, 6'2, and Wolverine's supposed to be like 5'3 or 5'4. But besides that, he's fucking excellent as Wolverine. Like, that's why they're bringing him back, because they know people love him. But Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool is perfect. Like, that's one of those ones, like Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. I was thinking about that, like, actors that are perfect for, so it's got to be based on a book or an old TV show or a comic book or what have you, a novel, and then they get the, you know, people speculate, oh, it'd be great to get this actor to play that character, whatever, you know, the book is or whatever it is, and then or the anime turn into the live action, and then they cast it, and then sometimes we're surprised, we're like, oh no, that turned out to be good. We were all kind of poo-pooing it originally, but then it turned out to be a great casting choice. I did watch the new Guy Ritchie movie a day or two ago. It's called The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. And it's like a World War II action movie, or just killing Nazis, which, you know, is always, I mean, yeah, Inglourious Bastards. There's so many, it's a great premise for an action film. But
yeah, I'm definitely going to check that movie out. The Covenant that Guy Ritchie did, the last movie he did, I loved that movie.
Was that more of a serious? I've not watched it, so you guys have both watched it. Was it a more serious movie? Because this is more action. This is Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare is more like fun. Yeah. Like, it's got more of a sense of humor, and
no, definitely not like a fun, lighthearted movie.
This is a serious drama kind of action thing. Okay, it's called Covenant. Yeah, he's. Guy Ritchie's filmography, some movies I like more than others, but I like that he keeps making new movies and stuff. And the Ungentlemanly Warfare movie has Henry Cavill and Alan Ritchson in it, who Henry Cavill played The Witcher, which was based on a video game and books, right? Wasn't Geralt?
It is, yes.
Okay, it was a book and a video game. And
I
then,
think it was a book before. It was a video game.
Okay.
And adapted off of that, yeah.
Okay, and then Alan Ritchson is playing Reacher, Jack Reacher, in the TV series. That was a movie. Well, it was a book originally, and then a movie with Tom Cruise, and then the TV series with Alan Ritchson.
I think he's doing a better job than Tom Cruise did. I mean, I think he really brings that character to life.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Well, in this Guy Ritchie movie that I watched with Henry Cavill and Alan Ritchson, the guy, like, the way they introduce Alan Ritchson's character in this World War II Nazi bashing movie is they show him first, and he's fucking, like, he's a mountain of a dude, you know? Like, he's fucking huge. And the way they describe him, his character in the movie at the beginning is like, oh no, yeah, he used to wrestle bears as a teenager and stuff, and it's like, you know, and he is a badass in this movie. He's one of the better parts of this movie. And I was thinking, like, the thing with the Tom Cruise being cast as Jack Reacher originally, and then this actor being cast for the TV series, is that in the book apparently. Jack Reacher is supposed to be a mountain of a man. He's supposed to be a big motherfucker, like, just imposing. And so Henry Cavill gets a lot of credit or gets a lot of kudos for playing Geralt. Is that the guy's name?
In
The Witcher. People are fans of his portrayal of The Witcher, mm-hmm. I should say. And I don't know. So we can come up with a couple examples now, but I thought it'd be interesting to maybe put out a Facebook post or something like that to see if what other people's idea, like examples of great casting over the years. But
how about Morgan Freeman as God? I guess it depends on who you ask whether that's based on a real character. Or
yeah, 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 yeah. No, that's great. Yeah, right. I mean, right. It's a character from a book.
Uh-huh.
But he's great. Like, you can't top that, right? Like, who could play God better than Morgan Freeman? So there's all kind. I mean, there's so much. There's like there's novels. There's like, you know. It'd be interesting to ask people about the Harry Potter books or made into movies or there's that stretch of franchises the last 10, 15 years, like the Twilight movies and the a Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, I think was a book before it was made into. And then you have movies like that, like Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, where they made a movie in. Where was it? Somewhere in Europe, where they made the original movie, and then they made another another adaptation in the United States.
I thoroughly enjoyed the one that was 2011, where they had Daniel Craig.
Yeah, yeah, and, the American version of that. Yeah, yes, David Fincher directed that one.
That is a sleeper movie. I mean, Noomi Rapace.
Yeah, that's
and watch that movie. Yeah, that is super good.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, it's great, great casting and great director for that one. Yeah, but I've not read the book, so I don't know if the. I know around the time when we launched Mind Grenade, we would have conversations like this, and the dream casting would always kind of end up being like Idris Elba or Michael Fassbender for anything, for any movie. But those guys have done. I watched the movie The Killer recently on Netflix, and that was a French graphic novel. And I thought that was pretty good casting. Michael Fassbender for that. He turned out to be pretty good. But
The Killer, would you recommend that one? I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, yes. I've watched it twice off of Netflix. One movie I watched recently that was also an adaptation that just blew me away. I had never seen a movie like this. It's a South Korean movie called Old Boy. You guys watch this?
No. Where did you watch that?
I rented it because I don't have Netflix, but apparently Netflix has it. Like, at least the last Google search I did earlier before this recording, I looked it up just to see because I figured I'd talk about it. It's a South Korean movie from 2003. It's an action thriller. It's South Korean. The film production, but it's based on a Japanese manga, and it's got a fucked up twist to it that like I never this is a, like a twist that I'd never seen in a movie, and it was shocking, and I didn't predict it, but I could kind of tell where it was leading me in that third act. I was like, oh fuck, this is where this is going. This is fucked up. The premise is the guy, the main character, let's see here, says, the story of, the character's name is a South Korean name, Dae-soo, who is imprisoned in a cell that resembles a hotel room for 15 years. So he's trapped in this hotel room for 15 years without knowing.
He doesn't have a flat screen TV.
Yeah, he doesn't have that. He doesn't have his celebrity writer. He's not even going to get paid for this at all. Without knowing the identity of his captor. So he doesn't know who's keeping him in prison in this hotel room for 15 years. And he doesn't know his captor's motives. When he is finally released, he finds himself still trapped in a web of conspiracy and violence as he seeks revenge against his enigmatic captor. His quest becomes tied in with romance when he falls in love with a young sushi chef. And that's a whole twist, too. That's, I mean, it's a very interesting film, South Korean, 2003. They made an American version of it. Spike Lee, the director Spike Lee, the American director, made a version of it in the last 5 or 10 years, something like that, maybe like 2015, I think it was, with Josh Brolin. And it's crazy because, like, the South Korean version, the original version, has like a 94% of Rotten Tomatoes. But then the American version has like a 15 or something like that. So apparently, yeah, the remake wasn't that well received. But yeah.
When you Google it, it says it's like watching every intrusive thought you've ever had play out on a film in front of you.
Yeah,
it's enough to cause mild to severe discomfort in anyone that watches
it. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I recommend it highly. It's not for the squeamish. It's not gratuitously gross out, but it has like some violence. It just has a twisted ending. Tarantino, I remember talking about this movie over the years too. He highly recommends it. It's in Korean, so you'll have to read the subtitles. But then, the one thing it gets mentioned for is this hallway fight scene that was the inspiration for the hallway fight scene in Daredevil that you remember from the TV show.
Oh yeah, everyone like loved that scene.
Yeah, and that was the inspiration. This movie, Oldboy, was the inspiration for that Daredevil scene. Very, very interesting movie. I'm surprised it took me this long to watch it, but
there's just so much content out there.
Yeah,
you get lost. You might want to watch something, and then it's like you just forget about it. And then years later, you're like, "Fuck, I never watched that."
Yeah. This was a recommendation from a friend I was talking to recently, and I was like, "I'll give it a shot." And it was good, but I don't know what the manga looks like. But it's interesting when they make an American version of it and they cast it and they're like, oh, okay. Josh Brolin was a decent casting for it, but just the American version. They changed the ending for it somewhat in the American version from the Wikipedia entry that I read. I didn't watch the American version, but good stuff. So maybe that's something we can think about, or if during this recording you guys come up with good castings. I think about like Jack Ryan from the
Amazon show
with Krasinski. Krasinski, but that role was Alec Baldwin played that role, Ben Affleck played Han Solo, what's his name?
Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford, thank you. Harrison Ford played that role, Jack Ryan. So I'm wondering if the people who read those books, who came up in those, you know, with those books, the boomers that read those books growing up, what their thoughts on who the best Jack Ryan is. But I always think of, like, to us that we haven't read the books, we're just like, oh, no. Like,
it's Jim from The Office, of course.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, that's mine.
Yeah. Anyway. He played Mr. Fantastic in that last Doctor Strange movie, which I thought was a good casting. Pedro Pascal's playing Mr. Fantastic in the new Fantastic Four movie, for the MCU, which I love Pedro Pascal. We talked about this, Jason, on the last recording. Pedro Pascal's fucking great, but not necessarily who I would think to play Mr. Fantastic. I talked to my brother about this. He had the same similar feeling. He was like, you know what, like Benedict Cumberbatch type of actor would have played a good Mr. Fantastic. Just kind of a, I don't know, slender kind of guy with that type of build, as opposed to Pedro Pascal that seems to have a smaller build, not like taller, I guess, and lankier is what I'm thinking for Mr. Fantastic. But when me and Jason were talking about it, Ian, I was telling him that with the Pedro Pascal casting for Mr. Fantastic, I'm kind of like wait and see, you know, because there's a lot of instances like that where you're like, I don't know about this, but then you watch the movie, you're like, oh no, that's fucking great.
What is your guys' thoughts? I don't know if you talked about this on your other recording, but you know, do you have a strong preference to where, like, in your mind, so you have like a pinnacle character, does the actor they pick need to look like that actor for it to really connect in your mind, or are you, you know, as long as it's a great performance and he's mm-hmm. captivating and he's not too famous to where it like takes mm-hmm. you out of it, you know, because that's kind of one thing with Pedro Pascal, I worry a little bit that he's kind of been a little what's the best word for it, but he's been so in so many things recently.
I agree.
It's so popular that him being Mr. Fantastic might pull me out of thinking of him as that, because one, he doesn't look like it, and two, he's just been in a lot of different things.
Yeah, what do you think, Jason?
Yeah, I think there are times where very recognizable faces can take you out of a role to where you want someone that really becomes that character, because you associate that face with so many other things that it makes it harder. Or, like, I brought up, I think it was the episode that Ian was on that we ended up having to scrap, but Patton Oswalt as a union officer that's hunting down, John Wilkes Booth in Manhunt, the Apple series, where I'm so used to seeing him as a non-serious character. Like, it took me out for a second. I had to get used to him being a serious, like, union officer in a historical piece for a second, because for you know, you're just so used to him in certain types of roles.
Yes, please
go ahead. No, Mel Gibson, when I saw Mel Gibson in that John Wick series on Peacock, that was the opposite, where I had not seen him in such a long time and stuff. When he, it was almost jarring when I saw him on screen, I was like, holy shit. It's like I couldn't associate him with a character, because I was just like, there's Mel Gibson, look, it's Mel Gibson, because you just haven't seen him. So that's like the opposite of what we've been talking about.
I remember you watched The Continental, that you immediately were like, yeah, fucking Mel Gibson.
So you're like, holy shit, not
see Mel Gibson.
Yeah, did he say anything anti-Semitic? No. I'm kind of with Jason. Ideally, it would be great if the person looked like they stepped off the comic book page onto the screen, or the description from the novel matched it. But as long as they, like with Hugh Jackman, like as long as they embody the character and like the essence of the character, I'm good to go.
So you're saying the carpet doesn't have to match?
Exactly what I was saying. Yeah,
you would like them to resemble a little bit, like so that it doesn't looks so jarringly different, but at the same time, like, you don't want to trade out someone that looks identical to what that character has looked like in history for someone, you know, that person's not a very good actor,
right?
and then you might want to trade that out for a little bit, somebody that doesn't look as much like, but it's going to do a better job of portraying that character. So it's a balance.
Imagine what you don't want to see, though. It would be like you see Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool, but instead they cast him as like a side character in the movie.
That would be so rough.
Are there any movies that come to your guys' mind where that's happened, where you're like, wow, that character should have played the main role and not like a side character?
What do you think, Jason?
I'm trying to think.
I mean, that's kind of a tough question.
The one thing I feel that Idris Elba in the MCU was kind of like wasted, because he was good in his character in the Thor movies, but he could have been a main character. Like,
it's interesting that you mentioned that movie specifically, because I believe Tom Hiddleston famously auditioned for Thor,
but so then it worked out.
Like, what if those roles were reversed? Like, that mm-hmm. would have been very weird. See Thor as Loki versus Tom Hiddleston as Thor.
That's a perfect casting, was Chris Hemsworth as Thor. Like, mm-hmm. I can't think. I mean, Alan Ritchson possibly, but I don't know if he's, the body type is there, but I don't know if, I think Chris Hemsworth, the best possible, where he had the acting talent and he looked like Thor. That one's good. But I'm trying to think. What do you think, Jason?
You know, Hector, you've brought this up before. Viggo Mortensen as Aragorn in Lord of the Rings.
It's perfect. Lord of the Rings has a lot of good... Gandalf, Ian McKellen as Gandalf.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's
like,
example, yeah.
If they ever make those, like, remake those movies, like, it's going to be an uphill battle to top a lot
of... You know, what is it, Viggo Mortensen, he'd never even read the books.
Like, yeah.
When he got cast
Yeah, he read them when he got the role and stuff.
When he's flying over to New Zealand, he read them on the plane.
That's... Not that those movies don't get enough love, but that particular... performance was just so good, so perfect throughout. I mean, from the beginning to the end. I think about that sometimes when, like, an actor carries the performance all the way through, like, doesn't drop, like, doesn't, like, phone it in anywhere, especially three epic movies like that. When you watch Chris Evans's Captain America. Like, he doesn't, he's in that role the entire, anytime they're capturing footage of him in the movies, he's that fucking character. He doesn't, like, just phone it in ever. I'm trying to think of other ones here. The Lord of the Rings, Christopher Lee as Saruman, that's fucking excellent. Like, that was mesmerizing when I first, the Fellowship of the Rings, where Gandalf goes to Orthanc, I think is the name of Saruman's, like, lair.
Yeah.
And he goes there, and then Gandalf deduces that Christopher Lee's character Saruman is working with Sauron, and then they had that battle there, and it just seemed like something out of the book. I mean, it just seems so lifted out of the books. It looks so authentic to what you got out of the book. I wonder, speaking of, like, fantasy stuff, I wonder what the House of the Dragon and those, because a lot of those actors were beloved from the TV show. So what's the original show called?
The Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. I wonder what the people who read the books, what their feelings were when... those actors were cast. That's a lot of casting. I know Pedro Pascal was on that show.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough because I read only like a third of the books, mm-hmm. But then I really only read them after the show came out. So
yeah.
Probably not the best person to ask for.
Right, right. Yeah.
I mean, I felt the castings were pretty good, but yeah, I would be interested to see someone that actually had read them before they came out, if they lived up to their expectations.
Right, right.
But I almost kind of like to read the books after the shows, because, you know, it's pretty much always the books are better than the shows end up being, so that you get best of both worlds, right? If you wait until, you know, after you've watched the show, then you can say, oh yeah, the books are better, but I enjoyed both because I watched the show first.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
There's one I can think of that when I think of someone who personifies a character, like when we think of a character, it's just him. Is Hannibal Lecter?
I was gonna bring that one up.
Yes.
Yeah, like, it's hard because the first movie, Manhunter, was Brian Cox, who played Stryker in X-Men 2. He's also in the show Succession. Brian Cox was the original Hannibal Lecter in the first movie before Silence of the Lambs, but like Anthony Hopkins, you're not going to be able to wrestle that role out of it. Like, he is that, like, he, like, that, that's a good one. And those,
I would go
those
as
were books
far as saying too that I thought that Mads Mikkelsen really captivated the role for a young Hannibal Lecter and the TV series.
Yeah, not watch. I always forget about the TV series.
My God. You still need to watch at least a couple episodes.
Yeah, yeah, okay,
it is
so,
I don't know, fucked up, but captivating and mesmerizing at the same time. It just makes you feel like
Mickey,
like when you watch it. It's just such a good job of being a psychological
thriller.
Okay,
I have to write that down. Cause...
I would say, like, the first two seasons. After that, it gets kind of, like, wonky and weird. But, yeah, those first two seasons really capture just the craziness of that.
And that's just called Hannibal, right? It's just
yeah.
Called, yeah, because I know they made a movie called Hannibal 2, or Hannibal.
Here's one a little off the upper echelon, and this is an actor that I like because I watched him in Mr. Robot, and he was great.
Yeah.
Is Rami Malek when he played Freddie Mercury in Bohemian Rhapsody. Yeah. That was a great cast.
Yeah. He shows up in Oppenheimer for like a second. That cast is so stacked in Oppenheimer. There's a couple actors in there that, Robert Downey Jr. somehow still surprises people with his acting ability, because in Oppenheimer, he's very impressive. But these are actors playing actual people that were, in real life. But Casey Affleck's in it. Rami Malek is in it. And who else was surprising in it? Kenneth Branagh's in that movie. I forget. I there's so many actors, big actors in Oppenheimer that I forget. Let's see. Robert Downey Jr., obviously. Josh Hartnett is in it. He was excellent. Let's see. What was the one actor that... Dane DeHaan, who was in Amazing Spider-Man 2, and he was in The Valerian and The City of a Thousand Planets. He hasn't had an opportunity. They tried to make him a leading man type actor, but it just hasn't worked out. But then you see him in Oppenheimer, and you're like, oh man, like he's surprisingly good. Like it's just weird that Hollywood's not using him. And then the actor that played Han Solo, what's the guy's name? Let me see here.
Definitely Harrison Ford, right? The other guy.
Yeah. I did that earlier, bringing up Han Solo. Alden Ehrenreich, the guy that played in the Han Solo movie and the film itself, the young actor that played a young Han Solo.
Oh, yeah.
He's an Oppenheimer, and he's surprised. You're like, what the fuck? Why isn't this guy doing more? He was fucking excellent in that, too. And I thought he was a good... He was cast well for Han Solo when they made that Star Wars movie. Like, I'm not a huge fan of that movie, of that Star Wars movie, but it wasn't because of the casting. Like, they got that casting, Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian, as a young Lando Calrissian. That was an excellent casting, I thought. But just the movie, I'm not a big fan of. You brought up Mads Mikkelsen. Reminded me of... when he was in James Bond, when he was in Casino Royale. That's another character based on a book that has been cast a bunch of times, you know, James Bond. And people have their favorites. And then there's like Daniel Craig, who, when he was cast, there's people who are like, no, James Bond's not supposed to be blonde. I was like, that's such a superficial kind of... I mean, and then he turned out to be one of the best ones. He's my favorite James Bond.
He's been my favorite as well. Yeah. I used to say Pierce Brosnan, but Daniel Craig is...
Yeah, and I like Pierce Brosnan. They say Timothy Dalton, he did two James Bond movies in the 80s, and those aren't as brought up as fondly as some of the other James Bond movies, but apparently he looks the most like physically, like the way that Ian Fleming described James Bond in the books, but then those movies just weren't that great. Kind of reminds me of like the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movies, where he was a decent Spider-Man, but those movies weren't that great.
Yeah.
But I think Tom Holland's probably thus far the best Spider-Man, like where he's a good Peter Parker and a good Spider-Man.
Yeah, I mean, he captures definitely more kind of like juvenileness that really Spider-Man, I mean, he's like a kid in high school, you know, so it really kind of captured that way better than like Tobey Maguire.
Mm-hmm. What were you going to say, Jason?
You know, there's one movie where I feel like the actor both looks just like the character he's playing and just nails the role. It's Nicolas Cage playing Nicolas Cage in The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
Yeah, that's perfect.
That's awesome.
Yeah, have you guys both watched
the movie? I still have not seen that yet. It's one of those ones that kind of yeah. want to watch, but yeah. I keep forgetting about
Pedro Pascal. Yeah, he's in it. He's great in that as well. Yeah.
Yeah, it was us bringing up Pedro Pascal is what reminded me of that movie.
Mm-hmm. That's...
I wanted your guys' thoughts. This is kind of switching topics little bit, but going back to the Deadpool Wolverine, you know, I mean, I hate to say it, but Marvel struggled a little bit, you know, this last year especially. They've kind of had, you know, not necessarily like super misses, but just kind of somewhat mediocre content. I mean, let's be honest, that's kind of put out. I'm really hoping that this movie kind of brings them back and recenters them and kind of like sets them right, you know? Like, I think that this is going to be good. I think it looks really fun. I mean, I love the trailer. So I'm kind of hoping that kind of resets them.
You mean just Marvel in general? Is that what you're? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a.
They've got this. I mean, the new X-Men 97 is fantastic. I didn't know I did watch that.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And yeah. I brought X-Men 97 up to Jason last recording, and you and I, Ian, have talked about it before, especially on Mind Grenade on the podcast, where you watched those. Cartoons in the 90s and fondly have great memories.
Oh yeah, like, they were very ahead of their time. Yeah. Really, for what was in them.
I was already aging out of it, but I was still reading the comics like I was pretty hardcore. And X-Men are my favorite comics, and so. But then throughout the years, I remember like growing up and then hearing people going, oh no, that was my jam when I was, you know, a kid, you know, when I was, 13 or whatever, watching the X-Men. I was like, really? I was like, okay. And, so I never watched those, but then the buzz for this relaunch, which, is a continuation of, like, it picks up right where the old series ended. Mm-hmm. This shit's fucking fantastic. Like, this is probably the best Marvel thing on any platform right now.
Agreed.
It's, yes. They should somehow finagle. Me and Jason were talking about it. It's like they should somehow figure out how to get that whatever essence that they're bottling with the cartoon into the movie universe. And the same with like the Miles Morales into the Spider-Verse movies. Like somehow if they'll eventually cast a Miles Morales in a live action movie. And they said somehow get that feeling because they're knocking it out of the park with those Into the Spider-Verse movies, but they've been.
I don't know why it's been so difficult for them to capture that feeling from, you know, some like the X-Men movies. A lot of them have been very corny, and
yeah,
kind of big misses for a lot of the audience. Unless you're like a big X-Men fan,
yeah.
You know, if you're a big X-Men fan, you can kind of look over some of the
atrocities
done with some of those movies just because you like the characters.
Yeah,
but
they are
objectively kind of subpar.
I'm a huge fan, and I've not watched the last couple X-Men movies, and because it hurts my heart. I'm like, man, I don't want to reward bad behavior. I don't want to keep giving money to if they're just going to keep the diminishing returns of the X-Men movies, you know,
that Apocalypse arc, was one of like the biggest arcs in X-Men. Mm-hmm. You know, they just freaking rushed it through in a one movie thing.
Right? Yeah,
should have been like a couple, and just God, yeah, so disappointing.
This cartoon, this X-Men 97. I haven't gone back to rewatch it. Like, I'm just watching it. You know, just I just jumped in midstream, mm-hmm. It's fucking excellent, man. It's great.
Is that episode 5? Oh boy.
Yeah. They're bringing a lot in from the comics, and the animation style is like cleaner and tighter, but it's capturing that same animation style from the 90s. But then it'll impress. There'll be point action sequences where you're like, this is kind of like an anime, like Japanese anime almost. Like it's getting some of those vibes from like Japanese animation.
Definitely.
Very, very much character driven. It's got that soap opera element from that the X-Men have always had. It's so good. What are your thoughts, Jason?
These are the days of our mutant lives.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. there's like a love triangle between Rogue, Magneto, and Gambit that's just like, yeah, it's excellent, which was there in the comics. Like, Rogue and Magneto had a thing going on. Yeah, good stuff. So it's just funny how, who would have expected that this show would be the one thing kind of keeping Marvel afloat when it comes to fanfare and quality, you know. But
really, I will ask, flesh out some of the stuff too. This isn't really a spoiler, but like them kind of fleshing out that, you know, because Rogue can't touch anybody because she'll sap their power, but Magneto's powers basically makes like a giant condom over himself so Rogue can touch him.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Like,
yeah. That's, yeah, that's, I hadn't heard the description, but yeah, that's, it's, it fits. It fits like a glove. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
It's great that you're right though, that that Marvel has been struggling. They have to kind of right that ship, and maybe with the Deadpool movie and a Fantastic Four movie next year, like they're leading towards Secret Wars, where there's the Deadpool trailer, not this one, but the one that they premiered during the Super Bowl. There's that scene at the end of the trailer where Deadpool is laying on the ground, and then you see Wolverine's shadow come up if you freeze frame that frame, to the left of the screen, there's a comic book just laying there in the desert, in that like wasteland that they're in. And the comic book is Secret Wars, like number 7 or something like that, which is what they're kind of leading the MCU towards, which is a kind of a reboot, like a massive reboot. And it's just crazy to see the actual comic in an MCU movie. Speaking of it being an MCU movie, like, because this is the first MCU Deadpool movie. It's also the first rated R movie. That's fucking crazy. Like, this is a Disney movie. And this trailer that dropped yesterday had, like, I mean, 6 or 7 F-bombs. Deadpool gets stabbed in the crotch. Like, it's fucking insane. Like, there's just... And this is in the trailer for a Disney movie. And it's pretty exciting. It's the only MCU movie coming out this year, where we were getting used to 2 or 3 movies coming out a year at the height of the MCU. I'm hoping it doesn't have to reach the heights that it did, but I'm hoping they kind of like steady the whole thing, the machine, I guess, kind of like get it back to...
I'm excited for the dynamic. I think that Hugh Grant's going to have a lot of...
Hugh Jackman.
Grant's the... Yeah.
Not Hugh Grant.
Yeah, not Hugh Grant. Hugh Jackman, I think, is going to have a lot of fun kind of filming with... Like, I'm sure he did film with, like, with Ryan.
With Ryan, yeah.
Yep, so I think that that's going to be a really cool dynamic to see, just the two of them.
It's weird that they've already done this before, which is weird, because that first Wolverine movie had both of them in it playing the same characters. But that movie wasn't that great.
I mean, he had silenced him halfway through and sewed his mouth shut. That was such a weird... Yeah.
When you see Wolverine in the yellow spandex and and Deadpool in his red costume in this movie, and then you think about that old Wolverine movie, you're like, what? They're not like... Yeah, they seem to finally... They're getting it right. Back to writing the ship with the MCU stuff, they'll have the opportunity if they lead this to an Avengers Secret Wars, which is essentially destroying the universes that are left and then making a prime universe. I'm going to have to watch this before the Deadpool movie, because the TVA, which is this like fucking organization, this fictional organization in the MCU that curates, or not curates, but like watches over the timeline, the sacred timeline. They were in Loki. I've not watched Loki season 2, but I hear it's fucking great. Have you watched it, Jason?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Okay. The second, yeah. Because the first season was excellent, I thought. And then this one, and that is kind of seeping into the Deadpool movie, the TVA, and so it looks like they might just like bring all, because there's all kinds of cameos that are being teased for this Deadpool movie, like some of the old X-Men characters, like Ben Affleck's Daredevil is rumored to be in this. Elektra from Jennifer Garner, Elektra is supposed to be in this Deadpool movie. Like, they're bringing in a bunch of characters that they're probably just going to have Deadpool just murder. So they're going to just like... So it seemed like with this movie and the Fantastic Four movie, they're trying to like prune everything down to reboot it. And I wonder how hard the reboot will be. Where are they just going to recast all the Avengers on the other side of the reboot? Like, I'm not sure how quickly they're going to get into building the MCU from top to bottom again, if that's what they're going to end up doing. It seems like the best thing to do is to, because it would be messy to try to bring back Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen to be Magneto and Xavier, and they're not going to get Robert Downey Jr. to come back for Iron Man if they're going to want to reboot that. Like,
right.
And Hugh Jackman's already, you can, as much as I love Hugh Jackman and I can't wait for this Wolverine, this Deadpool Wolverine movie, he's already aging. You can noticeably tell that he's starting to age out. But yeah, it should be interesting, because that's the way the comic book, that's the way the Marvel Universe worked. It's funny how it's mirroring, the movies are mirroring the comics, where they eventually had to like reboot everything. And they, Miles Morales was in the Ultimate Universe originally, and Peter Parker was part of the 616 Universe. And the Secret Wars comic that happened in like 2015, they combined all that. They had like a universe ending kind of event, and then they just combined everything to a streamlined version of the Marvel Universe where Miles was also in the same universe that Peter Parker was. So that's kind of where they're, it seems where they're going. The Fantastic Four movie is supposed to be set like it. It seems like it's going to be set in an alternate universe than the MCU. The Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, when he like goes to that other universe, it's going to be similar to that, where it's the Fantastic Four are already a team in this new movie that's coming out next year, and it's set in the 60s, so that'll be interesting too. This Fantastic Four movie, did we talk about that, Jason? Did you know that?
Yeah, a little bit.
So it's going to be set in the 60s, and it's going to be set in a universe where like they're the only superheroes. So that'll be an interesting thing. So that they're gonna have to figure out how to integrate all these universes into one streamlined universe where the Fantastic Four do exist with the Avengers in the same universe, where as opposed to where we are now, where it's kind of like Deadpool and the X-Men are in their own fucking movie universe, and Fantastic Four are kind of in their own, and then we got that Doctor Strange movie where you saw him jumping from universes, you know, from one universe to the other. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they can pull this off and not be a mess, I guess. And
when you're talking about the multiverse, I always kind of wondered, I kind of feel like, I mean, I don't think there's one singular point where I think that they kind of lost the pizzazz. I mean, I think that there was just, you know, they had so many successes that at some point you can't be on top forever,
yeah.
Right? But was the multiverse in, you know, I spent years of thoughts, it was a multiverse kind of the linchpin that started to undo some of the magic? Because for me,
yeah,
I think it did.
Yeah.
You know, it just got too crazy, too much, too fast, and it was just hard to keep up with.
Like,
everything was this crazy multi-universe, and nothing was succinct or grounded anymore.
Right.
And I think that's just really started to be difficult to follow.
It also, then death doesn't mean anything when, like, oh, well, there's a thousand other versions, you know, in another universe. Yes, I agree. It's a concept that can just kind of get away from you, you know?
Like, and it's notoriously hard to do. It's not their fault. I mean, like, not every, but I would say most time travel movies involved have the same issue. It's very difficult to do well.
There's examples of it done right. There's with the multiverse stuff, there's Everything Everywhere All at Once. Like, that was a great version of that. But yeah, and then the What If stuff, those that animated show with the Watcher and all that. That's interesting. That got me excited about the multiverse, but it really kind of, like...
Those are kind of more like thought experiments.
Yes, yeah, like, yeah. But to have it be like, yeah, I'm kind of with you. I feel like it, and it wasn't just like the where Marvel's at now, where it's just kind of, it's not as doing as well as it used to. Like, you're right. It didn't happen with one movie. It kind of happened. It just kept stumbling. Every other movie wasn't as good. Or then you have something like The Eternals, where it was just completely fucking boring. And, but the multiverse stuff is a little messy. The Spider-Man movie with the three Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and like that was contained and pretty decent.
Yeah.
But then it just kind of, yeah, it seemed to unravel what they, the how succinct and tight everything was, just kind of became
just
kind
like,
of a mess.
Okay, this worked a little bit. We're going to pivot to it 100% in every movie from here on out.
Yeah.
It's like everything has to be multiverse.
Yeah, yeah. Ant-Man, that third Ant-Man movie, dealt with it somewhat. Did you notice in the new Deadpool trailer that there's the lair of the villain? The villain is Cassandra Nova, which is like a Xavier's twin sister. It's a soap opera kind of concept.
Yeah, that whole thing is ridiculous.
Yeah, but
she's like an Omega level X-Men.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She in the Deadpool Wolverine trailer, as she's walking out of her lair, it's a giant corpse of a giant man Ant-Man character. So you see the helmet just lift up, and you see like a skull underneath it. That's fucking wild.
Yeah.
So man, I mean, I'm fingers crossed that Marvel kind of gets their footing back. You know, it doesn't have to be what it was, but at least kind of get back to, because it's possible. I've seen it done in the comics where they just kind of like stumble for a couple of years, and then they just kind of right the ship. So, but
before we end our Marvel talk, I want to ask you guys, the X-Men 97 new animated series, do you need to be familiar with the old animated series to pick it up, or can you just pick it up without having...
No, they've done a great job of just being able to pick it up.
I feel like I can recommend it to anybody, yeah. I'm wondering how young, though, is what I've been wondering, because I've been thinking about recommending it to like my nephews, but they're like 9, 8 and 10 or something like that. I mean... It's kind of hard to ask me because I've read the comics but not watched the animated series, and then I just jumped into this, and I'm enjoying it. I feel like I can recommend it just about anybody. It's good stuff. I don't think the episodes are super crazy long either. But
no, it's very digestible too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like really, it's what, like 20 plus minutes. Like
yeah.
After like the credit scene, the intro.
Yeah, you know, that intro music, fucking the best,
yeah,
dude.
Brings you back. Yeah.
They fuck around with it a little bit too in this new relaunch, which is great. But yeah, they should somehow backdoor introduce this universe into which is kind of what they're doing. If you watch Multiverse of Madness, that Xavier had the yellow wheelchair thing that he's in, which he didn't have in the X-Men movies. But he had it in the X-Men cartoon. The Beast that shows up in the Marvels at the end, as an end credit to the Marvels, that last Brie Larson movie, where the Beast shows up and it's, what's the actor? Frasier, I forget the actor's name, does the voice of Beast in the X-Men movie and one or two of the X-Men movies. God damn it, why can't I think of Frasier's name? Frasier Crane. Anyway, that Beast looks like the Beast from the cartoon rather than from the movies. And then this Wolverine and Deadpool is in the yellow spandex the way he was in the cartoon. So it's they're leaning into the nostalgia from the cartoon more than they are the comic books so far in the MCU. So
Kelsey Grammer,
thank you. Yeah, Kelsey. I would recommend this show. It was one of those things where I was like, oh, cool, they're bringing that back.
You should just toss on an episode.
Yeah.
Before you go to sleep, Jason.
I
might risk having to watch all of them, but yeah.
Okay.
And they're putting them out like week to week, I think. Mm-hmm. So it's fun. That whole thing of like, an episode of something dropping and then the internet kind of it trending for a couple days because people are talking about it. It's a lot of fun. I like that aspect of just watching, you know, TV shows in the modern era or watching a movie comes out and it just like Barbenheimer last year where it was just a viral thing online, you know, right. In addition to the movies themselves. I like that aspect of watching media these days. You guys teased this episodes back, a couple months back, about the Barbie movie. You guys watched the Barbie movie. Did you guys talk about it on Listen Impossible at all? Have you guys had a chance to? Mm-hmm. You guys haven't talked about it on here or on Listen Impossible. Well, we can maybe tease that for next time. I'd like to just hear your hot takes.
Let's do it.
Your hot pink takes on on Barbie. But we'll wrap it up, guys. What do you want to tease? Any Listen Impossible content coming up on your podcast?
Well, Ian got to do his first two recordings of our coming up. So those episodes will be out a little bit later on. We did Ren Sick Boy, which is a great album.
Yeah.
And then we did Cocaine Bear, the movie, which is always a fun discussion. But yeah, and then we'll have – I mentioned Beau is Afraid.
Yes.
We have an episode coming out about that.
I need to – Beau is Afraid, yeah. So I got two recommendations off of here. I got the Hannibal TV series, Mads Mikkelsen, and Beau is Afraid with Joaquin Phoenix. Check that out.
Then we'll talk some Masters of the Air as well coming up. So.
Cool. All right, so Listen Impossible featuring some appearances by Ian coming up soon. So you can find Listen Impossible anywhere finer podcasts are found. So for all things Mind Grenade, like a feed of the podcast, my art gallery, they can all be found at mindgrenadestudios.com. So thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. This has been Hector for Jason and Ian saying so long, and we'll talk to you soon.